everyone. Welcome back to another Learn with Dr. G stream. My name is Sarah, aka Dr. G, and today we're going to be doing some Python coding, but with a special twist. I'm very excited about it. Before we get started, though, I do want to remind you of our Microsoft Code of Conduct, which basically is just kind of just saying, like, let's be kind to everyone in the chats. You know, we're all here to learn. We're all here to grow together. So let's do that together. All right. Today is my first time streaming to a bunch of different places. I do have this chat here. So hopefully I will be able to monitor that effectively. But if it takes me a minute, I apologize. I'm still kind of getting used to it. But hello, good evening from the UK. All right. Oh, it's pretty late there, I think. Let's get started. So what I want to tell you about today is this new Microsoft Learning Path that we released just about a month ago. It's Learn Python Basics with Wonder Woman. There is a new Wonder Woman 1984 film coming out next year, next calendar year, I believe. I got the opportunity to build a lesson inspired by this film. And really, this lesson is all about learning to code. We've got two different Python lessons here. The first one is the one that we're going to do right now, today on the stream. It's the crack the code and reveal a secret with Python and Visual Studio Code. And the second one is which Wonder Woman 1984 character are you most like, where you build a quiz. And that video is coming out on whatever, if you're watching on the Microsoft Developer channel, YouTube channel, or the Microsoft Reactor YouTube channel, it'll be on both of those. So you'll be able to find it wherever it may be. You can find these lessons at aka.ms/learnwithdrg/wonderwoman. Oh, from Sydney. Wow, we've got like both sides of it. Hello. So I'm going to try to remember, because last time folks asked that I also include everything in the chat. So I'm going to try to remember to do that, all of the links. So you can find this Microsoft Learn learning path there. And like I said, today we're going to jump into this first one. All right, from Morocco. Awesome. Welcome. So this first lesson is pretty exciting. In the film, I don't know much about it yet, but there has something to do with, or maybe there doesn't, I don't know. In any case, we know that Wonder Woman works at the Smithsonian Museum. And we partnered with the Smithsonian Museum to build some learning labs around decoding messages. Because what is more exciting in terms of like superheroes and fantasy and things like that than decoding messages? I don't know about you, but it was something that I loved to do all through childhood. And when I was in college and I learned about binary code, for example, like decoding messages, essentially going from like binary to decimal to ASCII or things like that, it was just like so much fun. And I had a lot of fun doing it. And that's pretty much what inspired this lesson. So this is the message that we've received, and we need to figure out how to decode it. Good morning from Melbourne and Sydney. Welcome, everyone. So what we're going to do is we're going to build a simple Python app inside of Visual Studio Code that will basically take in a message and then decode it given a certain shift key. Let's talk a little bit about that. Once completed those courses, is it possible to share on LinkedIn? Oh, that's a good question. You do get badges as a part of your Microsoft Learn profile. I'm not actually sure though. We can, I know that you've got like your profile here, for example, achievements. Badge. I don't know if you can share them on LinkedIn. I haven't tried that before. If anyone else knows, please let us know in the comments. But the question was, can we share what we've done on Microsoft Learn inside of, or on LinkedIn once we've completed them. And if I find out, I'll let you know. But if you do know, please let me know in the comments. So by cracking this code, yes, feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. I think it's just Dr. Guthels. So to crack, once we crack this code, we'll be able to find an Easter egg about, maybe about the film. So that's what we're going to try to do today. You might have noticed that the Microsoft Learn learning path contains two modules that are Wonder Woman themed. Yes, feel free to follow me on Twitter. I do have like a, let's see, that's where my, at Dr. Guthels is where my Twitter is. So the first two modules are Wonder Woman themed. Like I said, the first one's cracking a code. The second one is building a quiz. And then the third one is if you haven't yet set up a Python environment on your local machine, this module is going to help guide you through that. I'm going to give you a really, really quick overview of what we are, or of my setup. I go to the Visual Studio Code Learn site, which you can find at, and let me get all these together, https://aka.ms/learn-on-vs-code. So if you head over there, you'll be taken to this Learn site. And one really, really neat thing, right now, as of this live stream, it's only available on Windows, but there is this coding pack. So if you don't have Visual Studio Code yet, you can install this coding pack, which will install Visual Studio Code, Python, the Python extension, and a bunch of other essential extensions, things like LiveShare. So if you haven't yet done that, you can just click on this. If you already have Visual Studio Code, though, don't worry. The docs for Python, which I can grab this link here. The docs for Python also have instructions on how to install Python, how to install the extension, and how to get started with all of your Python code. So if you haven't yet set up your local environment with Visual Studio Code, Python, and the Python extension, there's lots of materials for you. All right. So like I mentioned, we did partner with the Smithsonian Lab to build these lessons. And one thing that they've done is create this learning lab all about different types of secret message decoding. So you can see that there's a bunch of these lessons around Caesar ciphers, binary code, the Jefferson wheel cipher, Morse code, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you can come to this site here, which again, let me throw this in the comments. I should get these ready in like a copy paste. I'm going to do that next time. Smithsonian Lab. So if you head here, you should be taken to this site here, and you can learn a little bit about different types of ciphers. And the reason why I'm pointing this out, though they might be fairly simplistic, one thing that I am going to highly, highly encourage you to do is once we build our cipher today in Python, I want to see you build your own decoder of a different sort. So if it's maybe using something like the Jefferson wheel, I mean, I don't know how realistic it is to build these with code, but maybe it's not exactly the Caesar cipher. Maybe you actually build your own. I don't know. I want to see your creativity. So these Learn with Dr. G shows episodes are really meant to inspire you to go do something creative on your own. And that's why I like partnering with different like movies and organizations and things like Wonder Woman and the Smithsonian, because like, I don't know about you, but for me, that kind of stuff inspires me. And then that gets me thinking like, okay, well, yeah, that makes sense for this kind of fictional universe, but what could I do in the real world? So I'm going to encourage you to do the same. Oh, that's awesome. Someone was mentioning that they need to actually do some studying of old school ciphers for their cybersecurity exam. Sweet, sweet. So hopefully this will help. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. The first thing is I did want to, oops, I'm going backwards. I did want to introduce you to my learning environment, the way that I like to set things up. So I do have a GitHub profile. You do not need a GitHub profile if you want to follow along with what we're doing today. but I have one. And I like to keep track of all of the projects that I'm working on, particularly for this show, in my Learn with Dr. G repo. So you can find this repo if you want to check it out also here. And this Learn with Dr. G repo really just contains all of my source code every time I work through one of these projects. So I'll be adding more to it as we go along. Now, I've already cloned this repo on my local computer. I like to use GitHub Desktop to clone. I work on both a Windows machine and a Mac machine. And for me, it's just easier to have GitHub Desktop be the same application that I use across all of my machines, whether I'm in Visual Studio Code in my editor or something else, whether I'm on Windows or PC or Windows or Mac, it's all the same. So I really appreciate that. So I have my Learn with Dr. G repo open here, and I'm going to create a new branch called Wonder Woman Code Decoder. And I'll create a new branch, and I'm not going to publish it yet. I'm going to open this in Visual Studio Code. So we don't even know what we're doing yet. All we know is that we've seen this cipher over here. And we think we're going to need to decode it in some way, and we're going to use code to do that. So not sure what we're doing quite yet, but I do want to get my environment set up. So I've got my Learn with Dr. G repo open inside of Visual Studio Code. And the first thing I'm going to do is just create a folder, and I'm going to call this Wonder Woman. And I might just create a folder because I know that I've got my Friday one coming out, which is going to do the quiz. So I might create another folder just in case I need additional files to keep things clean. So this is going to be called the code cracking. Okay. And inside of here, I'm going to create a new Python file, and we're going to call this code cracker. All right. So now I've got a new blank Python file called code cracker inside of Visual Studio Code. Awesome. Thanks for following my GitHub repo. All right. So the next thing that we're going to do is just kind of make sure that our Python environment is working. I don't know about you, but for me, I like to make sure that whatever I'm about to do, like, is ready to go. So what we're going to do first is we're going to just do a simple print statement, because of course that's what we always do. But instead of printing hello world, oh gosh, I can never pronounce this. Themyscira, I believe is how it's pronounced. I did like watch a video of someone pronouncing it. I'm pretty sure it's Themyscira. So we're going to print Themyscira. So when we write some code inside of this Python file, what we notice is a couple of things. Number one, we get this dot up here on the file, which means it's not currently saved. So I'm going to go ahead and save it. And then over here in the top right, we see this play button. And if I click play, then we will, my code will run, and inside of my terminal, we'll see that it gets printed out. Awesome. So it looks like Python's working. Sweet. inside of the Microsoft Learn module, we also have some additional kind of instructions and guidance through different Python commands. I'm not going to go through those now. We're just going to kind of talk about them as we build up this file. Oh, I don't know what that means or what language that is, but hello. All right. So the first thing that we need to do is figure out what it is that we're actually doing. So we're going to head back over here. And what I know about this is that this is actually going to be using a Caesar cipher. Okay. So Y 4th, 1984, Oscar plus Ohupo Ed. Hello, Wonder Woman. Yeah, we could have done that instead, but like, hello world. I feel like Themyscira, which is the place where Wonder Woman is from, you could do either. It's all good. So we need to figure out how to work this Caesar cipher. So if we head back over here, just a quick introduction into Caesar ciphers. It's one of the like easiest, but also just, I don't know, for me, most fun ciphers. This is that Smithsonian site again. So I can bring that back up for us. So the Caesar cipher basically you just take the alphabet or any number of characters in some sorted order, and then you have another, like basically you're just kind of shifting them. So if we shift the Caesar cipher by like three positions, then A is now X, B is now Y, C is now Z, D is now A. So for example, if you were to say, if you wanted to spell Dr. G, you would put A, O, D, A, O, D. That took longer than it needed to. So that's the basics of a Caesar cipher. So we know that we have some, We know that we've got some characters here, and we basically need to, awesome. I'm glad that you're enjoying it. Someone was mentioning that it's fun to learn and have fun at the same time. And I completely agree. I don't like learning to code when it's just like building a calculator. Why not build a calculator to count puppies or something? I don't know. That's what we're doing here. So rather than, or we see that we've got some kind of like typical characters. And so we can probably use this to figure it out. If we're looking at this, we can see that Y has this 13 underneath it. Oska has this negative 18, plus Ohupo has this negative 1, and Edie has this 25. What we know about Caesar ciphers is that we need to rotate the letters by X positions. So I would guess that the numbers underneath the words are likely the kind of shift amount, the amount that we need to rotate our alphabet in order to decode it. We can see that 4th and 1984 look like correct. They look like they're not coded. 1984 is part of the film name, so I bet that is accurate. And it would make sense that we're only focused on like an English alphabet set of characters rather than also introducing things like punctuation or numbers. So that's what I would guess. We could be wrong, but I'm going to take that guess. All right. So how are we going to solve this? Well, the first thing that we need to do is, I mean, you could do this a number of ways, right? The first thing that I want to do is to create a function that I could then call that'll allow me to shift a letter. So remember that if I had Dr. G and I wanted to shift by three, then it was going to be like AOD or AO, I think AOD, right? That's not right. Yeah, AOD. So I'm going to break this problem down into small problems. Dr. G is like a word. That's much harder to kind of shift. One letter is easy to shift. Or easier to shift. So first, I just want to shift one letter. I want to decode that one letter. Okay. The other thing that we know is that plain text attack. Yes, I just kind of use that. I should have maybe done something like this and then. And actually, I was writing in JavaScript all morning, so wrong type of command. wrong type of comment. The other thing that we know is that each word that we have, and therefore each letter, is going to have a different shift amount. So whatever function we build shouldn't make an assumption on the shift amount. It should probably take in a number that'll represent how much we want to shift it by. Okay. So what I know about Wonder Woman is she's got this like awesome truth lasso, right? So we could leverage that a little bit to make our code a little bit more fun. Since we're decoding a message to try to find the truth, maybe we should call this like lasso letter, right? Get it? So clever. What we want to take in here is a letter and a shift amount. Here's our function. Okay, now we need to actually, you know, write it out. So what are we going to do here? Oh, thank you. How's it going? And let me change this up again. I want to make sure that I put this here. So then that way, if you want to follow along, you can check that out. Okay. Before we write this, let's make like clear what it is that we're trying to do. So when we call this, here, I'll use comments this time. When we call this, for example, if I were to call lasso letter and I were to pass in A and zero, and you know what? This is like really hard to see. I'll highlight it for a minute. So if I were to call lasso letter and pass in A, sorry, not zero, and three, okay, then what I would expect lasso letter to return would be A shifted by three. So A, B, C, D. So I would expect it to return D. Next stream, I need to fix my coloring on my VS Code. This is not great for seeing. Also, let me zoom in a little bit more. So sorry. Thank you for asking. Is that better? We can do also. Let me know if you still can't read it. I know that this one is not super easy to read, but so that's basically what we want to do. Our assumption here is that when we pass in, for example, A, we will get D back. All right. So how are we going to tell code? Zoom more. Okay, no problem. Do that, no problem. So how are we going to tell code to like add, like shift, right? Like code computers themselves don't have an idea of what an alphabet is or what the order of the alphabet is necessarily, right? But what we do have is codes that represent characters. So one thing that I forgot to bring up is an ASCII chart. So but we do have one of those over here. So an ASCII chart, basically given a character, and it's kind of hard to see, I'm just kind of showing the all up, but given a character, there is an integer value that represents that character. So for the character zero, not the number zero, but the character that you type on a keyboard that gets represented as like a string or character type, the ASCII representation of that character is 48. For the character A, the ASCII representation of that character is 65, capital A. For lowercase a, it's 97. Okay. So when we were saying that when we pass in A and 3, we would expect our function to return D. If you think about it, if A, capital A, is represented as 65 in ASCII, and we add 3 to 65, we get 68. So then if we convert it back, we'll get D. So that's what we're going to do. Okay. So to get started, first, we need to get that ASCII value. No problem, though. We do have a way of getting an ASCII value, and it's a function called ord. It's a built-in Python function where you pass in a character and you get out of it an integer. So if I pass in our letter that we got passed in as a parameter, then what I should get returned is the letter code. Why don't we go ahead and just print this out and then try to call this. Okay. Let's see if this works. 5. We didn't actually shift anything yet, so we're just printing out 65. So we passed in A. A is passed in as letter. Letter gets passed into our ord function. Letter code gets the value 65, and then we printed out 65. We should have probably added in a little bit more like explanation here, something like the letter. ASCII is. Oh, that's right. Oops. This isn't. You know what you shouldn't do is like write a bunch of different languages all in one day. Anyways, besides the point. The point is that it seems to be converting our letter into our ASCII value correctly. Okay. So the next thing that we want to do is make sure that we can do the opposite, right? So we do, yeah, F string. Sorry if the dis derails. Yes. So there's a good question here. Would string.ascii lower or string.ascii upper be easier if you wanted to avoid punctuation in numbers and you can use list slicing? Yes, there are a lot of really, really great ways to optimize this code, and definitely not a derail. So please continue to put in your ideas. We're going to do like the simplest of the simple for this one. But I highly, 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 highly encourage you to optimize this and make it useful for like any situation. Great question. Okay, so the next thing that we want to do is, gosh, why do I keep losing my train of thought? I know, I have not slept well lately. The next thing that we want to do is make sure that we can actually get the character back from a number. Okay, so let's just pretend for a minute, or let's just do like a very simple version. So we have the letter code. And then we want to have like the decoded letter, right? So the decoded letter code would equal our letter code plus our shift amount, right? So we know that A's letter code was 65. So our decoded letter code should be 68. All right, that's fairly simple math. So I'm not going to print that out. But now we need to get the letter that is represented by the code 68. So we have another function that'll help us with this. We can get our decoded letter by calling this function, char, passing in an integer, and getting back a character. And then if we print this out, or we can actually just return it, and then now we can just print this out, it should print D if it works. D prints D. Sorry, we're done. Awesome. High five. End of stream. Not really. Where's the problem? Let's say that instead of passing in A, we passed in Z. Taking a look at our ASCII chart, Z is 90. What would we expect as humans to happen, though, given a Caesar cipher is cyclical? What would we expect Z to return? We would want it Z with a shift of 3. We would want it to return 1, 2, 3, C. But 90 plus 3 is not 67. So that's where it gets tricky, right? So if we were to do this, we actually get back the closed bracket, because that's 93 is the ASCII value for the closed bracket. Not super useful. We can use the string function for a letter. Yes. Oh, right. That's why. That was what the error was. Good point. So this is incorrect, right? Why would you prefer using VS Code over PyCharm? I prefer VS Code because I use a ton of different extensions, and I do a lot of different things with like Azure and like Jupyter Notebooks and things like that. So I use like a number of different extensions, including the Spotify extension, which is just fun. I can just basically do literally everything that I need to do all within Visual Studio Code, and I don't have to change it around. Yes. Great point. We need to use modulo. Exactly. Modulo what, though? So if you don't know what modulo is represented in this. We use a percent sign. And basically what it means is divide and give me the remainder. So if you were to do 7 modulo 2, right? So if we were to say 7 modulo 2, then basically what it would do is say, what is 7 divided by 2? And what is the remainder of that? So 7 modulo 2 would equal 1, because 7 divided by 2 is 3, remainder 1. So that's one quack. Modulo is one quick way, when you use modulo 2, is one quick way of determining whether a number is odd or even, for example. But in this case, we can also use modulo. And how are we going to do that? Any ideas in the chat? So again, if we were looking at our ASCII chart, we had like 90 and we needed to get it. Modulo 67. And what is 67? 67 is C. So why 67? Maybe 65? 67 would be like the 3, right? So that would be the beginning of the alphabet plus 3. Yeah, 65. Nice. Cool. So we want to do modulo 65. Thank you for reminding me to get rid of my semicolon. I appreciate it. Gosh, writing JavaScript for like 24 hours does not do well. Great. So rather than just hard coding 65 in though, what we could do is, well, I guess it's still hard coding it in. But just in case for some reason something changes, what we can do is we can say like, you know, decoded letter is going to be the shift amount. So before we do this, we want the beginning of alphabet to equal maybe like ord of A. So that's going to give us 65. And then what we can do is, so we think that we want to modulo 65 here. So that, is that what we think we want to do? Give it a try. So Z3, we expect C to come back. And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and print out what our decoded letter code is. And I'm also going to print out what this is. And actually, since I'm doing that, I'm just going to go ahead and get the like true letter code. Just, I prefer dealing in variables. And then I'm also going to print out the decoded letter. Well, decoded letter is going to be printed out up there. Good question. Are we assuming that all alphabets are in caps? For now, I'm going to make that assumption because I'm just starting out. But no, we want to kind of handle that eventually. Okay, so right now what we expect to be printed first is a letter code. If we're passing in Z, we expect it to at first be 93. Then we are going to do this modulo thing and get the true letter code. And what we're hoping for is 67. Because then we're going to convert that. So let's try it out. So we got 93 and then 28 and then nothing. All right. Someone else has another idea. How about X modulo range of characters plus 65? All right, so X is going to be our decoded letter code. Modulo, instead of the beginning of the alphabet, we actually want to get maybe, let's get a couple of other variables in here. Maybe our alphabet size, I think is what you're saying. It's the range of characters, in this case, 26. And then you're saying that we want to then add our beginning alphabet code. All right, let's try that. Looks good. 93, 80, P. Not quite. So why don't we actually just look at the numbers real quick? So letter code, our letter code is 90, right? I'm going to put what we know and what we want. So our letter code is 90. And we know that our beginning alphabet code is 65. By camel case. Oh, I don't know. I've always done camel case. It's just how I grew up. I don't know. we know that that's 65. We know our alphabet size is 60, is 26. It's right there. What we want our decoded letter code to be is, let me remember, 67, right? That's what we want it to be. All right. So what do we need to do? Our decoded letter code is just, 93, but we want our true letter code to be 67. So it's some kind of formula that gets 90, 65, 26, and 93, 90, 65, 26, and 93 to somehow equal 67. So someone else suggested maybe doing letter code mod 65. So decoded, so letter code mod 65. So 65 is our beginning alphabet code plus 65 plus shift amount. So we could just continue. We could continue to kind of, you know, go through this, and we're still getting 93 here, so that's not working. But let's stop and think about this for a minute. Modulo, again, is going to make, like, divide out and give us a remainder, right? So if we have 90, and then we have 93, and then we modulo out, or we subtract out how far away we are from Z to A. What if we did that? So first of all, we get how far away we are from A, because A, our 65, is kind of like our baseline, is kind of like our zero in this case, right? So we're going to get our letter code, and we're going to actually subtract out how far away we are from our beginning alphabet code. Okay? So now we know how, oh my goodness, now we know how far away we are from the beginning of A. And then we can add in our shift amount to say, so we're that far away plus three more. And now we can modulo out, this time our alphabet size, because we want to know of the difference of these values, how far away we are from the beginning of the alphabet. So what the remainder is after we divide out 26. Does that make sense? Did I add in enough parentheses here? Oh, you know what though? Sorry, I forgot. We do need to start at A though, right? We need to start at A. Start at A, because two, we don't want to be at 65, we want to be at 67. So that just gave us two, which is how far away we are from the beginning of the alphabet. 67C. Poof. So basically, this is the beginning of the alphabet, okay? This whole part gets us how far away from the beginning of the alphabet we need to be. The beginning alpha, I think I got it, because I got 67 again. Let's go ahead and add in, let's go ahead and run this again, but with A, just to make sure that we still get D. We still get D there. If we put in Z, still get C. I think we got it. I think we got it. I'm gonna take out these other print statements here. Where'd that other one go? Here it is. So we have our letter code, the start of our alphabet in ASCII, the size of our alphabet, how like added in, so what the shift amount is, and then getting the true letter code, we use that formula there. Awesome. Thank you, Ashley. I appreciate it. This is what she said. Cool. So it looks like we've got a decoder that can decode one letter. As we've mentioned, we actually do have more than one letter. We do have words. So the next thing is to actually be able to decode an entire word, which basically is just calling the decoder over and over again, right? So here we can just define another function. We're going to call this one lasso word. We're going to pass in a word and a shift amount. And here we're going to start building up our decoded word. We don't have it yet. We just want to build it up because we're going to do one letter at a time. Yes, that is correct. And then for each letter, we're going to basically call our lasso letter, and we're going to save that. With letter and our shift amount, because remember this one here is per word. The shift amount's per word. So we're going to pass in the same shift amount for each word. Okay. And then now that we've got our decoded letter, we can basically add that. If you haven't seen the plus equals before, that's basically the same thing as saying this. You just grab what was already in that variable and also add in the next one. And then we can print out our, or let's return our decoded word. And now, if we were to call print lasso word, with Y, and I'm just going to do capitals here. And what was the Y one? 13. We'll get something. Joel. Joel 4th, 1984. Sounds like something to me. So we can do this for each of our letters, or sorry, each of our words. And I'm going to do a quick cheat of like just capitalizing them all. So OSKZA. And we want that to be negative 18. Do we think it's going to work with negative numbers? We didn't even test that out. OHUPO with negative 1. And ED with 25. Now we can decode our message. Looks like, let's run this again so we can see it. July 4th, 1984 in Washington, D.C. Something must be going down. Don't know what, but it's good to know. So this was just like a very, very high level. As a bunch of you pointed out, there are a number of things that we have not accounted for. Number one, it's great that it works with negative numbers with our shift amount. That is fairly like expected because we were really just doing this fairly simple algorithm here, formula to determine our true letter code. It was not simple to like come up with. It actually took me quite a while to make sure I was doing it exactly right and a lot of trial and error. But once we look at it, it's just, you know, adding, subtracting and modding. So it makes sense. But what if you did want to include numbers? What if you did want to preserve capitalization of our letters? What if you didn't care about preserving capitalization, but you wanted to make sure that any input that got put in, whether it was capitalized or not, would work with your cipher? There's a lot of other checks that we would need to do in order to make sure that this works for like any kind of secret message, right? So, for example, you could come in here and rather than like ord A, you could check to see is the letter code within within 65 to 90? If so, then you're going to use capital A. But if it's within 97 to 122, you're going to use lowercase a, right? So we've got like a few minutes left. We could try doing that. So we could say something like if letter code is greater than or equal to, here, why don't we do this? I'm just going to create a bunch of, and actually, we don't even, yeah, I'm just going to create a bunch of these for now. What we're going to do is, this is like cap A code, cap Z code, low A code, low Z code. Right? And so we want to, we're going to thank you. Gosh, darn it with these switching languages. But I do want to do multiple. So if letter code is greater than or equal to cap A code, and letter code is less than or equal to cap Z code, then what I want to do is I want my beginning alpha code, oh my gosh, to be, can you please stop? I need to figure out how to make that stop. Then you do want it to be your cap A code, right? No matter what our alphabet size for now is going to be this. And for now, I'm just going to do an else. I'm going to make the assumption that it's only going to be capital letters or lowercase letters. So we should be able to just run this exactly the same. And this time we can, you know, something like this. I believe this should work. Yep. So we still get it. Now we are preserving capitalization with this one. So we could say that anyone could bring in any kind of capitalization, but we want to output like the other one. So for example, we know that the difference between like cap A code and low A code, we could add that to our true letter code and like get it all to be capitalized, or we could use, you know, like the two string and then uppercase and lowercase functions if we wanted to. But that the two string uppercase and lowercase functions wouldn't work if we started to allow for other types of characters. If we wanted to, you know, introduce the entire ASCII library or numbers or things like that. So this is the basics of building this Caesar cipher in Python. You can see that it's just kind of like a fun way to explore writing different, like fairly simple Python code to start to break down a problem from being able to, you know, shift an entire word by a certain amount to also to then breaking it down to shifting only a letter and then thinking about, okay, well, how are we going to handle these other cases like lowercase letters or things like that? That was fast. How is it 3:51? Well, here it's 3:51. How is it 51 past the hour? I mean, these are just like fairly just fun little brain teaser type things to just get you practicing writing some Python code. Yes, we can do a very quick rundown of all of the code that we just did. So the first thing that we did was we created a function called lasso letter. It takes in a character letter and a number shift amount. We got the ASCII value of the letter and saved that in letter code. And that basically represents, you know, the number or the letter in a number form. I'm going to ignore that part for now. We then saved the beginning of the alphabet in a value, the code for that, right? So we got the code for capital A, which was 65, and we saved that in beg alpha code. We then decoded the letter by just adding the shift amount to the letter code. So in the case of Z, we did 90 plus 3 because we were shifting it by 3. And that gave us 93. So that's our decoded letter, which works if that's within the alphabet range of ASCII values, but doesn't work, for example, with Z and 3 because we want that to loop back around. So in order to have our code loop back around, we did this formula here, which basically took 65, which is the position of A, as our starting point. Then we figured out how far away from A the shift amount would need to be. And so what we did first was we took our letter code, in this case 90, and we subtracted out the beginning alphabet code, in this case 65. Okay, so that's 90 minus 65, which is what, 35, right? So now we have 35, and we added in the shift amount. The shift amount was 3, so now we have 38. And that is basically how far away we are from the beginning of the alphabet, but not really, because we need to modulo out the entire alphabet that we're shifting around, okay? Since it's 26 letters, if we had A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, all the way to Z, A through Z, and then we had A through Z again, then 38 would represent C. But it doesn't, so we need to modulo out, we need to divide out 26, which is the total size of the alphabet. Is it 25? Sorry, 25, 28, thank you. Math is hard. The shift amount was given to us in our secret message. So Y was given to us right here on the 13. So we need to divide out and get the remainder. So 28 divided by 26 is 1, remainder 3, right? Thank you for my math. And so 28 is here. 28 is all of this. Mod, the alphabet size, 26, gives us 3. Because that's the remainder. So then we take 65, we add 3 to it, and that gives us 68. We reverse that 68 back to a character is C, and that's the one that we got. And then we basically just looped through each letter and did that. Awesome. Again, if you want to do this on your own, we do have this lesson at aka.ms/learnwithdrg/wonderwoman that will take you to this lesson here. So feel free to go and check it out. I did also want to quickly mention that we do have a survey, aka.ms/reactor/survey. Whew. That is hard. It is hard. and if you could please go to this survey. My event code for this live stream is 8030. It just helps us make sure that what we're bringing you is something that you like. And if you want to see other things that we know about it. Yay, I'm so glad. Mark is working, trying to code every single day. And so now you've got some things to code on. So give it a try for sure. And if you have any questions also, you can be sure to, let me remove, oh, here, let me actually just add in here. let me do aka.ms/reactor/survey code 8030. Also, now I can remove this. If you want, feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn or on Twitter or what have you. I am there. You can find me at Dr. Guthels. And if you do hashtag learn with Dr. G, I try to look through all of that. So if you write this code better than I did, or you found a way to include numbers or other characters or other alphabets, other languages, whatever it might be, if you found a way to encrypt and decrypt messages, if you finished all of the stuff, share your wins with me. Even if you just did exactly what we just did on the stream, share them with me. I want to see it. Yeah. I'm just excited about everyone coding. It's my favorite thing. So thank you so much for joining me today on another one of the Learn with Dr. G streams. And if you missed it, you can always check out aka.ms/learnwithdrg, where the videos will be uploaded afterwards. And yeah, feel free to submit a PR to my repo. Why not? That sounds awesome. Thank you so much for joining. And yeah. Have a great evening, everyone. Bye.